soft open with a hard start. How about your inning report with Sam Cedar? The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
A soft open to a hard start. A hard start with a soft center. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. You've interneted to the internet of the internets. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Thursday. Yeah, you look at soft launch. It's Thursday, November 11th of our soft launch week. There's a reason why we call it soft launch, folks. That's the opportunity for Dorsey to freak out as soon as the show starts. We had a little trouble with the site. We got slammed. It was thousands of hit on the site simultaneously. Even during our soft launch period, as it were. And, every day we're doing something different. You're not aware of that, or maybe you are. The audio quality changes slightly because we're playing with different mics. We're asking questions like, hey, how much should we orient this show towards video? How much should we orient it towards audio? Who's getting breakfast? Hey, how come the printer's not working? It would be great to have a third person here. Who's that guy who keeps making the bathroom sink all wet, and so that if you lean up against it, you get this long line of water across your belly? There's all sorts of things that we're resolving here in our soft launch week, but that's why we had it. I guess it's a little more than a week. But we're already light years ahead of where Air America was, and they didn't have. It took them like 3 or 4 years to get a podcast up. Like literally, the turnaround time for a podcast was 3 or 4 years. I think, I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but be that as it may, it is Thursday, November 11th. It is Veterans Day, so shout out to those of you who have served in our military, those of you who are serving in our military, our armed forces, as it were. You got a good birthday present today. Not a birthday present, I guess Veterans Day present. From the Cat Food Commission, which thankfully and hopefully, it's too early to tell, but it really appears like the plan to cut Social Security is going to be a lot more difficult than was certainly hoped by the forces that be. The Cat Food Commission co-chairs released a working draft of their personal recommendations about, I think, over a month before the entire commission was supposed to come out with their recommendations. This was not the game plan, folks, but clearly what happened... Well, we'll talk about it as the show progresses as to what happened. Why did they release this now? It's good news. It's good news. In other words...
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, we got to turn that up just a little bit. Put that down on the list of things to do, Evan. This is what we're doing. Is we're creating an entire work process. And it is Veterans Day. Let's start off. Dorsey, are you ready for this?
No.
Right. Dorsey is going to read off some fun facts. What is it? Fun facts? Just fun facts about Veterans Day. Is that right?
Supposedly they're fun. They were the first facts that I found. Courtesy of the Middleton.
Hold on. Do you want a little? No, maybe that's a little too much. Maybe how about something more? Let's see. What can we do? No, that's not fun. How about this? Okay, fun facts music.
Fun facts music.
No, but trust me, I'm a former professional.
Okay, so here's the first fun fact, courtesy of Middleton Press.
We don't have to get so detailed about where these are coming from. We're not going to attribute these. The facts are facts.
When they don't dogs aren't just a really good snack. During World War I, the Marines fought the Germans and took their position. I don't know what it was. The persistent attacks had the Germans calling the Marines devil dogs. They have a German pronunciation. Devil dogs. I can't pronounce it.
Okay, so in other words, the word, the name for those came from Marines who were devil dogs. All right, fair enough.
Let's see here.
This is going to be a shorter segment, I think, than we anticipated.
Veterans own 3 million, that's 14.5% of the 20.5 million businesses Census Bureau surveyed in 2002.
Okay, that's not so much fun, but it is a fact.
There are 25 million military veterans in about 2 million of these veterans.
Now, what that represents, a little bit under 10% of our entire population.
And 2 million of those are women. And the Middleton Press wants to let you know that it's surprising that only 3 million are African Americans.
Only 3 million of our military vets are African Americans.
I don't know if that's what it is or. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so 10%. A little more than 10% of our vets are. So that's surprising because we have a notion that minorities serve in greater numbers. And is that right? Or is that really more? Oh, there we go. Well, I think that's also, I would imagine that active duty, the percentage is higher.
Yeah, probably.
And frankly, life expectancy for minorities is less. So there's that I would guess also feeds
so
into.
I guess it's not so surprising.
And not so much a fun fact actually, as I'll get into later in the show. But apparently this is not a fun fact. I'm sorry to ruin this bit. It's not really a bit, but this segment with a not fun fact. 1/3 of the adult homeless population are vets. And roughly 56% of all homeless veterans are African American or Hispanic. So, you know, that's not a fun fact. That
I think I found the fun fact part of this whole list.
Yeah.
It's about bell bottoms.
All right, let's just go to that and then end this. This has been less.
I want to at least
less fun than I think we all anticipated.
Bell bottoms may have begun in the Navy. They might have, but we're going to go forward. It is believed that bell bottoms were introduced in 1817 to allow men in the Navy to roll their trousers above the knee when washing down the decks. It also made removal easier when abandoning ship.
All right.
Bell bottoms could have been could be used as life preservers. You would knot the legs up and swing them over your head to fill them with air before abandoning ship.
No, you get to, you actually are taught that when you get, you know, certified for a certain, like, swimming. Did you ever go to camp?
No.
All right. Well, if you'd gone to, like, you know, when summer camp, something with a Samoset is where I went. And they teach you to float. That's part of with your pants wrapped around your neck. All right. Well, that was great. We'll launch week. Launch week. Launch week. Something's. No, but actually, that could have been good. We could actually do like a once a week. Maybe that's more of a Friday segment. But it's Veterans Day. Couple of devil dogs, bell bottoms, homelessness. And number of veterans. Interesting. Some interesting facts. Some not so fun.
There's already some love for Dorsey on the blog. Actually, I think.
Really?
I think people have missed him.
Yeah. There you go. I will take your IMs later in the program at Majority FM on your instant messaging service. So today, some good news. Some bad news. Some bad and good news. That's good. You don't want a You don't want a show that's all bad news, and then you get because then you have Caprica, right? You watch Caprica, right, Evan?
I'm with you.
I caught up on Battlestar Galactica. I didn't watch it until like 6 months ago. I watched the whole thing on iTunes, and then I got into Caprica, and I love that show, but it's very dark.
Yeah.
It goes from like bad to things are going to get worse until you get to the basically the genocide of the human race. Caprica, but that's not what we have for you today. Staying on our vets theme, it really is incredible. You know, these figures of homelessness, that 1/3 of all adult to homeless population are vets. That's pretty astounding. I guess, and to a certain extent, it's not surprising. I mean, this is what you get when you put someone into that situation, when you put them into a into war. You destroy them. You destroy them. And hopefully many of them can recover. You destroy families, and you also kill, at least in the instance of Iraq, at least hundreds of thousands civilians, at least. 2/3 of the casualties in Iraq. Civilians, and this is the Defense Department numbers that came out from the WikiLeaks. We need a military, of course. That's just the nature of things, but I'm not quite sure that we need to use it in the way that we use it. And like I mentioned earlier, 56% of all homeless vets are African American or Hispanic, despite accounting for 12.8% and 15.4% of the U.S. population, and apparently, at least in terms of vets, 10%, a little more than 10% of the veteran population. So 5 times more likely if you are a homeless vet to be African-American or Hispanic. And this is relevant based on some of the recommendations of the Cat Food Commission, but we'll get to that in a moment. John Stoltz, who had an opportunity to interview a couple of times on the Sam Cedar Show, I believe it was. He founded Vote Vets, was a major war critic, has been called up for military service in Iraq, and he'll head over there for a year, I guess, as they wind down our military operations there, or I should say our active battle operations. I mean, because the fact of the matter, the occupation is not going to end. Hopefully, if we're lucky, it'll be over by the time my daughter is retiring from whatever profession she is engaged in for most of her life. But there's no reason to believe that we're going to ever be leaving Iraq. There's just, you know, it's just the way it is, I guess. Very difficult to unshat a bed, as it were. Good luck to John Stoltz. He'll obviously be taking a leave of absence from Vote Vets, and commend him for his service, both as a reservist and, frankly, his service in helping us at least wind down operations there. Unfortunately, so that they could be geared back up in Afghanistan. But be that as it may, I got a report that the audio on the other guys was too low. So we'll work on that. You got to speak. You got to project. Yeah. Well, that would also help. Yeah.
I'm tweeting out the fun facts. So if you missed them.
Wow, that's quite a benefit to people. Tweeting out the fun facts. So the Cat Food Commission chairman, Erskine Bowles, and Alan Simpson. Now, you got to remember, both Alan Simpson, he is the Republican. Erskine Bowles is theoretically the Democrat. He was chief of staff for, was it Clinton? He had the idea of privatizing Social Security back in the Clinton days, Erskine Bowles. And, of course, Alan Simpson, a longtime foe of Social Security, has referred to those people who are on Social Security and are paying into the system as essentially as teat suckers, saying that Social Security was nothing more than a huge teat upon which the dirty masses suckle, I guess. And so you know where he stands in terms of Social Security. And frankly, I think it's becoming more and more clear that that Obama's plans to strike a grand bargain, in other words, to F over the middle class in terms of Social Security, may have run into a snag when you have a Republican Congress. Because it no longer looks like a grand plan or a compromise. It looks like a capitulation. But be that as it may, the fact that the two co-chair people gave out their leaked their own not even released I should say their own recommendations, their working document, is indicative of the reaction that came from the committee members. For this commission to put out their recommendations, they're supposed to have 14 out of 18 votes. The reactions to this must have been so bad that they determined, oh, we should get this out there before somebody else gets it out there and trashes it. So that's at least somewhat comforting in the short run. Brian Butler calls at TPM calls their proposals eye-popping. Erskine Bowles said, "We're not asking anybody to vote for this plan. This plan is a starting point. Represents only Alan Simpson's and my thinking. No one else's. So why release it? Because suddenly they want transparency. They've been meeting for months and months behind closed doors." Angry at anyone who would deign to ask them questions of it. And Ezra Klein gives you a little background as to what this commission was supposed to be. It was originally supposed to be or it was proposed in the Senate as a congressional committee, but Republicans filibustered it because they were afraid that it was going to call for tax increases. Because, you know, here's how it works, folks. If you are a deficit hawk, if you are worried that the deficit is somehow going to undermine the American dollar, despite the fact that the one indication as to whether... And here's how it works, okay? This is why people are supposedly deficit hawks. They worry that if we carry too much debt as a country, that investors will not buy our treasury bonds, which are essentially loans to this country. Treasury bonds are essentially loans. And if you buy a treasury bond, what you're basically doing, just like if you buy it's a U.S. bond, essentially. It's just a different, instead of like triple E, it's some other. You're loaning the country money. You're financing our debt. And supposedly, deficit hawks feel that if we have too much debt, there's going to become a sense out there that we can never, ever, ever repay it, and that we are primed to default on it, or that we are going to devalue our dollar so much that, you know, to the point where gas costs $20 a gallon or whatever it is, that that no one's going to want to own our treasury bills, or they're going to sell them off very quickly because they're going to be worth less. And by worth less, that means they have less, our dollars have less buying power. Now, if this was the case, and they say you've got to lower the deficit to increase confidence in people who are lending to the country. Well, if this were the case, if there was a lack of confidence by people who would buy our treasury bills, that would be, the indication of that would be that we need to give more interest on treasury bills. It's like any other investment. You give me a sure thing investment, cannot lose. I will take that for a lower interest rate because I can't lose. I'm not. There's no risk involved. But if you give me a risky investment, I'm going to say I want a higher rate of return because I have a greater chance of losing money. And that plays out in the bond markets, in the 10, 20, 30-year bond markets. And in all those markets, interest rates on the Treasury, bills, bonds, are incredibly low, meaning that for whatever reason, and I think the reason is there's just nothing much better out there. If you want a sure thing, long-term protection for your money, people buy Treasury bills. Whether you're a Chinese national or corporation or your government or Japanese or European or American, you buy Treasury bills because, and maybe it's just because the rest of the world is just as effed up as we are, and maybe just slightly more, or we were, you know, first to the market in terms of having a stable currency back in the day, and so we dominate. Whatever the reason is, there is no lack of confidence in the dollar long term that's indicated by people buying our debt. Now, there's other theories out there, and maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow or sometime this week. I want to get an economist on. I want to talk to someone who knows about this. But that's the inflation worries. There's other theories out there that hyperinflation is a fundamentally different animal that is precipitated by a sort of an event that takes place outside of the normal ebb and flow of financial ebb and flow. But we can talk about that on another day. But so that's what it takes to be a deficit hawk. It doesn't make much sense to be a deficit hawk in this climate, short term or even midterm, because we need to juice our economy. And the way you do that is by getting money into the system, period. If you say something to the effect of like, who ever heard of borrowing your way out of debt? That person is either lying or has never started a business. Because I got news for you. At one point, unless we can find somebody to grant us money, or unless we can raise enough money to weather the building of a subscription base for this program, I will have to borrow money. I will go into debt for cash flow issues on a short to midterm basis to build a business. It happens when you make a when you do a restaurant. Any business. Nobody goes in. Well, I'm sure some people do. It's not the smartest thing in the world to do. But yes, it happens all the time, in fact. Borrow money to get our way out of debt. You juice the economy. It brings in more revenues. That's one of the ways that you get out of debt. The other one is to raise taxes to make up for the 35% or so of our debt that is attributable to just the Bush tax cuts. So when you see something like, and Atreos had pointed this out, George Stephanopoulos apparently has like one of those email blasts every day. Kent Conrad, and then two quotes from him, or summarizing his statements. Extend all tax cuts. Quote, time to get serious about the deficit. Which can be boiled down to increase the deficit and time to get serious about closing it down. Or there's another way to say that. It's give rich people more money. Make middle class and the rest of us pay for that giveaway. Or there's also another way to say that. Redistribution of the wealth upwards. But I guess it's better when you sort of talk about it in terms of a as a joke. The Cat Food Commission, like I say, this is not a report from the Cat Food Commission, but this is a starting point. It gives you a sense of what's on the table. But there's no, you know, there's no reason to think that anything of these things are going to be in here or that this excludes anything. It's just a way to sort of shape the discourse. But the Dan Frumkin has done a very good breakdown of some of the implications, some of the 10 most eye-popping features of the debt commission. And severely cuts Social Security. The annual, the cut in annual increases, in other words, increases in Social Security payments are tied into inflation rates. Because obviously you want, you're going to lose ground if everything else costs more. And it will affect current retirees. Their benefits would go down about 3% after they've been retired for 10 years, 6% after they've been retired for 20. Because, you know, when you're older, you don't incur any new expenses. Like, medications or anything like that. That doesn't happen. Doesn't. You know, it's like a soft landing into the grave. You're having fun. You're able to feed yourself. And then as you get closer to deeper into your golden years, you want to cut back on your food. Sort of just ease your way into the grave. So it's not such a shock to the system. One day he was happy, he was well fed. Next day he died. Instead, it'll be like a 5 or 10 year sort of slow deterioration. Yeah, ever since he had to give up proteins, I've seen a marked change. It's going to be a nice soft landing into the grave. And they would index the retirement age to increases in longevity, meaning it would hit 68 in the year 2050 and 69 in the year 2075. That would be wonderful if we were all just like talk show hosts or attorneys or accountants. Because, you know, my uncle, my great uncle, he was coming into the law firm in his 90s. But if he was, let's say, a guy who worked construction or a janitor or a truck driver maybe or a delivery guy or a nurse or anything else of the majority of professions that people have that have a little bit more wear and tear, they don't get to sit in a big leather chair. First of all, their longevity does not increase at the same rate. So you have people who, wealthier people, whiter people, are bringing up longevity on one end of the spectrum, and then there's obviously half that are not contributing to the increase in longevity. And the years in which longevity has increased after the age of 60 is virtually insignificant. More people are getting to their 50s and their 60s. But once you get past the age of 60, 65, there isn't a great increase in the number of people who live longer. You know, it's sort of like a car, as it were. You know, if you get a car, like 90,000 miles is when a lot of stuff goes wrong. But if you get that car at 110,000, a lot of stuff has already been taken care of at that point. The brakes, the muffler is gone. So the point being that there are certain benchmarks where if you hit them, there's a good chance you're going to live longer. Bernie Sanders weighed in on this part, said it's reprehensible to ask working people who do physically demanding labor to work until they're 69 years of age. Totally impractical. Not to mention, again, you know, this is more widespread now because of the massive unemployment, but people lose their jobs, even at times of fuller or more full employment, at the age of 55. And it's very hard to get another job at the age of 55, no matter what you're doing. Because they can hire a 25-year-old for much cheaper, and you're just not as valuable to the company more often than not. You know, unless you're like you're a rocket scientist. It would cut tax rates for the rich. Wow.
Surprise, surprise.
That never happens these days. There's no one pushing for tax cuts for the rich. And Paul Krugman writes that even though those cuts may be offset by supposed elimination tax rates in other areas, the point is, aren't we supposed to close the deficit? So you cut taxes for the rich, but you cut away maybe some of their ability to deduct or escape certain loopholes, but there's no net effect on the deficit. No net effect on the deficit. So it's just reshuffling, rejiggering things, saving rich people the difficulty of creating shell companies or trusts that nobody understands what's happening, you know, in perpetuity, hiding their assets in their children's names, whatever it is. Freeing up rich people to spend more time hanging out. According to Frumkin, it would screw the middle class because it talks about essentially means testing for Social Security, starting, and they write it as a more progressive benefit formula, starting at the 50th percentile of retirees. And Frumkin says that sounds all well and good until you realize that the median household income right now is $50,000. So it begins to screw people, households that make more than $50,000 in terms of their retiree benefits. So that's just one more way of cutting Social Security. And it's also another way of weakening it as a political program. There's a reason why this program, which has been hated by Republicans, and now you could argue that there's a good 25% of Democrats who are Republicans back in the day. Somebody mentioned yesterday that Obama's health care plan would have been the Republican plan in 93.
Practically was.
I think it was actually in 95 or 90. Yeah, I guess it was Dole's plan. Yeah. Right. So it was 93. Social Security, one of the reasons why it has maintained itself in the face of an onslaught of Republican attacks on it for years and years and years, since it basically its inception, is because it is not a welfare program. It is retirement insurance for everyone. It creates a baseline for everyone. It says you will not fall below this level. You will not dip into poverty. You will not be rich. You will not be living high on the hog, but no matter what happens to you, you will have this floor in which you cannot fall through. And some people need it more than others. Some people don't live that long. It's just insurance. You don't hear people complain like, I bought fire insurance for my house. 20 years later, I realized, what a horrible investment. My house never caught on fire. I got completely ripped off. Completely ripped off. I had health insurance, never got cancer. A waste. A total waste. I have health insurance for my daughter. She's healthy. I'm not going to make that mistake with the second one. No. It uses caps to disguise major cuts to Medicare and elsewhere. It calls for Medicare in the short run, expand cost sharing in Medicare to promote informed consumer health choices in spending. In other words, we're going to pay doctors less, and it will focus your mind more on whether or not you need that procedure as a patient because you may have to pay more for it. Right? Now, I suppose people do make that decision. I mean, in fact, I made that decision at times where we've been out of healthcare or even the copay, but that doesn't make for healthy people. And if I'm making those decisions, there are people down the financial spectrum who are making worse decisions because of that. Yes, this gangrene on my toe is looking bad, but I don't want to have to go pay I mean, obviously that's an extreme, but that's the point.
It implies that there's like recreational procedures.
Right, and right. And it also implies that, like, you know, patients are consumers.
Right.
And, you know, going into the doctor to see if that that stomach ache you have is indigestion or a or colon cancer, that's like buying, you know, a stereo. What you should do is go to some, like, website that tells you, and then if you can figure it out, 4 stars for a polyp. A cancerous polyp. So I think I'm going to go in. It's more of that. That's what that healthcare savings account was always about, too. We'll give you money that you can spend on, but spend it wisely. Be a good consumer of healthcare. So that's pay cuts to health providers and benefit cuts to consumers of medical care products. And then this is pretty funny. The set a cap on the rate of growth of federal health expenditures. The rate would be capped at no more than 1% than the increase in gross domestic product. In other words, if we thought that we could cap federal expenditures at 1% of GDP, of the growth of GDP, we would have no healthcare problems in this country. This is the equivalent of saying, I mean, it's basically, it's ridiculous. If that was doable, we would do it. But talk about death panels. There's only one way to do that, and that is death panels, actual death panels. Rationing. It's just not even remotely possible. It makes a start on cutting defense, $100 billion in annual defense spending, which is a bit less than 20% of its non-war-related budget. I guess that's like TV commercials and who knows what. What is non-war-related at the Pentagon? It will reduce weapons purchases by 15%, freeze military and civilian pay. It's nice. Nice message on Veterans Day. Reduce overseas bases by one-third. That is a start. We have over 750, probably now by now, 800 military bases around the world. Why? I don't know. Because we're an empire? No. It's actually, you know, Chalmers Johnson used to refer to it as just like basically a country club circuit for, you know, for the upper echelon of the military. It doesn't touch the nation's bloated nuclear budget, which, you know, we got to watch out if someone sneaks in a nuclear weapon in a suitcase. We may very well want to drop a nuclear bomb on suitcase manufacturing companies. Right? I mean, isn't that how it works? Or if aliens come, you know, we're going to want to shoot them with a nuclear weapon.
Asteroids.
Right, like if there are like 21 billion asteroids.
Yes, if there's a lot of asteroids coming at us.
Yes.
They want to get rid of the mortgage interest tax break. Probably not a bad idea down the line. Because it artificially inflates the value of homes and promotes sort of behavior that isn't necessarily good for everyone, but bad timing during a foreclosure and housing crisis. Bad time. It also wants to get rid of the health insurance deduction for employers. It's pretty amazing, but it basically they want to add copays to the Veterans Administration. So basically saying to our vets, you're not paying enough for the health care for how badly you got fucked up when we had to send you to war to fight for someone's interests other than your own. and they want to freeze non-combat military pay for 3 years. And they want to push individuals covered by TRICARE into an employer policy, even though they're also simultaneously getting rid of the tax deduction for employees. This is all, you know, suggestions, but this is just gives you a sense of where they're going. A lot of this is just covered to redistribute the wealth upwards. It would kill the incredibly effective anti-poverty tool, earned income tax credit, and the child tax credit. You know, seriously, fuck the poor. Why, you know. Screw them. If they didn't want to be poor, they'd be rich. There's no increase in the relatively low tax rate paid by the richest households. Again, seriously. People are rich for a reason. God wants them to be. It's wrong to tax them. That would be against God's will. There's no Wall Street financial speculation tax or financial transaction tax. Honestly, folks, you can't tax those transactions that Wall Street engages in, because then it would cut down on the amount of computers they would buy or electricity they would use. I'm trying to think, like, how would that affect their... They may be less inclined to speculate and stop creating all the speculation. Did you run out of tape? There you go, buddy. You get a swish of tape on the fly. It's all right, because So it doesn't deal with any of the tax breaks that were basically a huge cause of our deficit. Doesn't deal with the wars, which was the other big, huge of our cause of our deficit. Doesn't deal with the Medicare Part D, which was a huge giveaway to pharmaceutical companies. That's basically it. It's just one more way to redistribute the wealth upward. So screw you, middle class, and screw you, poor people. That's the message from Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson, and hopefully this thing just won't work out. Hopefully none of these proposals will see the light of day. Now, of course, we all know what's going to happen. All those military defense cuts, no, those aren't going to happen. The things that's going to come out of this commission, if anything comes out, are going to be the things that cut Social Security, are going to be the things that flatten tax for rich people. There's nothing going to be coming out of it. We're not going to see any of these defense cuts. Never in a million years. Anyway, not this way anyways. There's just too much money to be made for people. What's shocking is that you couldn't even pretend that you were going to tax Wall Street. You couldn't even pretend in any way that you were going after that type of... the financial services industry that destroyed our economy. It wasn't the deficit that screwed our economy, folks. The deficit is a function of our screwed economy. If there's any cause and effect there, that's what it was. The deficit is a byproduct of massive amounts of financial speculation, of offshoring of jobs, of a lack of investment by our government into creating jobs programs, to retraining workers. I got some good news, as you ask yourself, what has Obama done for me lately? According to the Wall Street Journal, and you know when the Wall Street Journal complains about these things, you have to take a grain of salt, but it's nice to see that they're at least complaining about it. Labor Board's recent decisions tilt in favor of unions. Horrible! Horrible! Which probably brings it, I mean, if the Labor Board recent decisions tilt in favor of unions, it brings it to almost describable advantage corporations. as opposed to indescribable advantage corporations. Private workforce unions have been decimated in this country. Decimated. Unions are increasingly looking to the National Labor Relations Board. How dare they? How dare they? To seek favorable workplace rulings. God! And the agency is showing a willingness to reopen matters previously decided in favor of employers. Union leaders pushed earlier this year to get two new Democratic members on the Labor Relations Board. Oh my God, the audacity! Saying they needed to level the playing field with employers after years of decisions by the Republican-controlled board. It's just offensive to me that the Democrats would try and control this when they were in power. You know, it's one thing when Republicans do it when they're in power, but the Democrats, that's just, it's just dirty. Because we all know Republicans are completely objective about these things. Whereas Democrats favor just their special interests. It can't overhaul labor law, but it can make rulings on a case-by-case basis and set broader policies through administrative rules. So it's those type of small bore things, but they're better than nothing. Why people elect Democrats, even when they don't legislate necessarily like Democrats. So that's some good news. And FCC is probing Google over Street View program. Apparently they drive through, you know, they drive through taking video and photos of Street View for Google. And I guess what they were really doing was they were also trolling for people's information through their Wi-Fi feeds. On Wednesday, Google reiterated its regret over the incident. We are profoundly sorry for having mistakenly collected payload data from unencrypted networks. Yeah, folks, here's a little tip. You got to be very careful as you walk around or drive around in your car that you're not mistakenly collecting payload data from unencrypted networks. It's so easy to do that. As soon as we realized what had happened, we stopped collecting all Wi-Fi data from our Street View cars and immediately informed the authorities. I'm sure there wasn't anybody about to blow the whistle on them. There are times, honestly, like I'm walking around with Mila and I get home and I realize, like, oh, Jesus. I've mistakenly collected all this payload data from these unencrypted Wi-Fi networks. I got to remember to turn that payload collecting device off.
You probably call the authorities when you realize that, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
In May, Google admitted the cars it sent roaming around the world to take pictures for homes for its Street View application were also rigged with software that collected data about the location of residential Wi-Fi networks. Lets users connect devices wirelessly to the internet over the airwaves. I mean, I don't know how nefarious it is, but remember, folks, you should name your Wi-Fi router Listen to Majority.fm daily. Or some reasonable facsimile. We're compiling a list of all the things you can do to help promote the show. Right, guys?
That's number one.
Yeah. Following in the footsteps of Harry Reid, Pelosi wants a Dream Act vote, according to Politico, during the lame duck session. It would legalize young undocumented immigrants, kids who are brought over here by their parents, who are attending college or serving in the military, have shown a moral abstandingness-hood, have learned English. There's a whole set of requirements that nary a U.S. citizen could probably measure up to. That's what we should do. We should kick people out who don't show the proper moral turpitude in this country. Probably would seriously diminish the staff and host of this program. Vote on the bill, known as the Dream Act, could come as early as next week. Pelosi asked Representative George Miller and Representative Javier Becerra from California to assess the mood of the caucus as to the vote. And then in perfectly predictable Politico fashion, they add in this paragraph, which is nothing more than sort of like fiction, sort of. It would have been as if they just sort of like highlighted the whole thing in like red or something. But Democrats also risk appearing out of sync with voters who sent a message during the midterm election they want lawmakers to focus on job creation. Well, gosh, I hope people don't vote the Democrats out of office. Oh, wait, they... Oh.
Are they going to use that for every time? Every time somebody puts something up during the lame duck session?
I actually think they probably honestly have like a template.
Yeah, just cut and paste.
They don't even cut and paste. Like, you know, the way I do my chat template, you know, like I set the template up and then I write in every day. They probably do. They probably have like a template that has Pelosi in the headline or Reid in the headline, and then they just set it up so that the fourth paragraph is always, but Democrats also risk appearing out of sync with voters. That's it. They could probably just use that all the time. And then they probably have a function where they can just search job creation and put in something else. But as if the Democrats could come up with, like, let's say a $50 billion stimulus or increased in unemployment benefits or retraining or dropping the Social Security eligibility age to employ people or forcing repatriation of domestic companies of foreign profits to increase manufacturing here, or to scale back parts of NAFTA, or to scale back parts of GATT. I mean, what jobs creation program would the Republicans vote for in the lame duck session when they refuse to vote for every single one? I mean, honestly, if you're going to put this type of bullshit in there, why not just carry it to its logical conclusion? But Democrats also risk appearing out of sync with voters who sent a message during the midterm election that they want lawmakers to focus on job creation. On the other hand, Republicans would never let anything happen. And they, of course, risk not being out of sync with voters because they are Republicans. And we're the Politico. Now, to be fair, you know, there is probably a mirror image of this story for Republicans in some fashion or another, because Politico just does this for the links. But the bottom line is Pelosi is saying that she's going to try and bring up a vote on the DREAM Act. Saying it is not terribly helpful. Having the vote would be better. There's no political downside to this whatsoever. But that doesn't account for cowardice on the part of some of the Democratic caucus, frankly, who still remain in that caucus. And who knows? Maybe there's some angle where somebody's going to get a job if they vote against something like that. Who knows? Heading back to the depressing, sort of wanted to save a happy story for the end. We may have to go back to that fun facts on Veterans Day. Devil dogs. White House. Now, look, you know, we'd already talked about this. It's interesting because did I not raise this the other day that I had seen Gibbs give a press conference or heard him give a press conference a couple weeks ago where he said, we will not, you know, talking about the tax cuts, we will not compromise on making these tax cuts permanent. Oh, what? That was that on the... Yes, no, that's not the issue. The issue is, will you extend tax cuts for the rich? Not whether or not you'll make them permanent. But you see how they do that rhetorically? And so this morning, or I guess yesterday, Sam Stein and the older guy...
Axelrod.
No, Feynman.
Oh, yeah.
I had a story where they sat down with Axelrod, okay. And Axelrod basically said, we have to deal with the world as we find it. The world of what it takes to get things done. And apparently that is because they don't want to give up those middle-class tax cuts. They want to be able to extend them. We may have to extend the tax cuts for the rich for a couple of years. And basically capitulating on that, of course, everyone got into a hissy fit about this because it's a fairly explicit way of saying it. But then they get back to Greg Sargent at the Washington Post saying, there's not one bit of news here, Axelrod emails. I simply restated what POTUS, that's the President of the United States, and Robert, that's Gibbs, have been saying. Our two strong principles are that we need to extend the tax cuts for the middle class, but we can't afford a permanent extension of the tax cuts for the wealthy. So basically they're saying we're going to kick the can down the road for another 2 years, as if when the Republicans control the Senate, which is very likely after the 2012 election, because 21 Democrats up for re-election, 10 for the Republicans. When they control both houses, the Republicans, the first thing they won't do is make those permanent. There's no reason for them to be capitulating here. Just absolutely none. Let them expire. Let them expire. And in January, when the new Congress comes in, you announce, Obama says, I'm proposing a tax cut for middle class work. Period. Period. And you let the Republicans vote it down because they want to attach amendments to it. Or you let the, you know. It's just, why cave on this? If it's inevitable, why cave? If the Republicans are going to do it anyways, but have the fight. Have the fight. They're capitulating on this. It means nothing. We're not going to make it permanent. It's just as bad as, this is worse than the first vote. It's just ridiculous. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's really, really depressing. I didn't want to end the show in that manner. I want to do something a little more positive. Anybody? Bueller? Well, then I guess our outro music will have to be this. Sorry, folks. Couldn't leave on a happier note. I'm sure there is a happier note. Can't think of one. Can't think of one today. Well, tomorrow's Casual Friday. Here's the happy note. Tomorrow's Casual Friday. Tuesday's our hard launch day. The podcast will be up shortly, obviously. And if you stick around on IM, I will take your questions. I will take your questions. You can IM me at Majority FM on your instant messaging service. Oh, and we already have our first sponsor. I'm not going to say what it is because we're going to save that for the hard launch. But that's how this juggernaut rolls, folks. Not even hard launch. Already getting a sponsor. And it will... It's not huge. It's not a huge sponsorship. But it's nice. Everybody knows what it's going to be. I'm literally looking at a horse's thing on my computer screen. A picture I took at a Columbia County Fair. Okay, folks. Stick around. You can IM me at Cedar MVS, Cedar MVS, Sam Cedar Show, or Majority FM. Okay, that's the real show. And now it's the after show. I'm not sure how distinct. You know, it would always seem very weird to me that we did this on Marion V. Cedar. But, you know, when we move this show, when we get, we're basically this, we're in three phases. Soft launch, hard launch, super hard launch. Maybe I should come up with a different term for that.
I think we're going to have to sample the Bush pardons and use the launch sound effect to announce each phase of each launch.
That's a very, very good, good. We should have that jetpack engage on our 360. We got to figure. Do you know how to do that? Load in.
Yeah, we'll get it then.
You know how to do the 360?
I read a book about it. We'll see.
Why don't we just email Justin?
Yeah.
All right, but be that as it may, we're going to, We're going to have a great technology, I believe, that is going to be super duper. So we're still figuring out all the details. Things moved a little bit quicker than I had thought because people showed up to listen to the shows quicker than I had imagined, or more people. And let's go to our IMs. Remember, you can IM me at Cedar MVS. Oh, and we do not have that Twitter hashtag on the site. Apparently, that was a little bit of a miscalculation as to the... but it's good to keep in mind. This is why we have a soft launch, folks. Let's see here. I'm going to go to... you can also do the Twitter hashtag... Majority FM. Why can't I connect to that? We do now. What does that mean? Did we put it back on the site?
Did Kyle may have.
Kyle, did you put it back on the site? Oh, he put it back into the sidebar. All right, sweet.
This guy's great at his job.
Unbelievable. It's more like a hobby. The job implies certain benefits. Now, of course, I can't. My computer won't work. All right, well, let me go to the IMs because I'm getting IMs, and we'll try and get this up on my computer. Okay, Neffer, have some balls, G-Doo. Woohoo, sponsor, coffee. Oh, good guess. Huck Finn, good morning. You wouldn't know any good entertainment attorneys, would you? Is there such a thing? I hope my attorney's not listening. I know he's not. I don't, not particularly. But you can email me and tell me what your situation is, and I would be glad to give you free legal advice. I'm glad to do that at any time, folks. I will offer any free legal advice. Let's see. Harold. Can't hear Evan. Caprica rocked. You got the whole corporate takeover meme, right? They were kind of obvious about it. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. The boardroom scenes were the most blatant, right? HuffPost is reporting the White House is giving in. The Republican tax issue. Yes, I talked about that. $700 billion added to the deficit. Right. Oh, and here's my Survival Sam revival ideas. Viewers like your Sam on the streets bits, right? What if Survival Sam conducted interviews? Wow, Harold. All right. Noted. Noki. Thank you, Noki. I appreciate it. Got your email the other day, and maybe we can discuss. We have some other plans, but yes. Smitty, Sam, are you on? I can't get you. Well, hopefully you're on now. But that was a long time ago. Okajik. Hi, Sam. Read tax cuts for the wealthy. Is it three times? It's a three times win for the Republicans. One, Obama is seen as weak, which he is. Two, they reinforce the lie that tax cut for wealthy is to create jobs. Right. I mean, look, there's studies out there. Google Moody analysts. Tax cuts for wealthy. It's just not the case that tax cuts for the wealthy create any jobs. Maybe they'll hire, maybe they'll hire a nanny. But no, they have a nanny. They're rich. They already have what they want and what they need. Anything else is just sort of they're going to invest at this point. That's just the reality of it. That, and this is not me talking. This is people who actually study things for a living. The site's not down, is it? I'm having a little trouble connecting to the site.
No, it seems to be working for me.
Maybe it's getting slammed. I put the Twitter version of the code into the sidebar for Majority FM. I know, like, I'm trying to find the...
it's working for me.
Shanksoft. Exactly. That's the other point. Giving tax cuts to the middle class is so important. Here's another. They're not making any income. Get them jobs. Stimulate the economy. Damn, it's really annoying to see this happen. It's really pathetic. I mean, do they really want... I can't tell. I can't tell if this is what they... what they're interested in, or if it's just... They're just weak. I can't tell. Dave, audio, video, or just audio? For the moment, Dave, in his room, it's just audio. We're working on different video solutions, both short-term and long-term. And when we have video up, you will know it, sir. Guaranteed. CC, oh, nice to hear from you. Kent Conrad, Democratic Senator, North Dakota. I thought I said that. Is the sponsor George Soros? Laugh out loud. That's what she wrote. Is it George Soros? Laugh out loud? Well, let me just put it this way. George Soros controls the world's coffee supply. So if a coffee entity was to sponsor this program, don't think for a minute that's a coincidence. If you replace the letters of Soros with the letters C-O-F-F-E-E, guess what you spell? Coffee. Huh?
I think that was on the chalkboard on Glenn Beck the other day.
That was. I think maybe we should have our daily sort of like Glenn Beck moment.
There's one every single day. I see them.
Right. I mean, that's the problem with doing that, is that he does them so much better.
Yeah. But you could reenact one of his insane moments.
Yeah. Oh, I know why this isn't... Is that why? I can't tell why this is not coming up. All right, let me go back to the IMs. Cat Fudan, how much of Obama capitulating on damn near everything is because he can't be seen as being uppity? Well, is because he thinks he can't be seen as being uppity? You know, I think early on I sort of bought that argument, but here's a question. What happens if he's seen as uppity? Who does he lose at that point? Hasn't he lost all those people? That's why I don't buy it anymore. I don't buy that argument anymore because there's nobody left. You know, he's got 45% approval rating. Are those the people who are just going like, well, I still like him because he's a black person who knows his place? I don't think so. If tax cuts for the rich cost us $70 billion a year, then wouldn't raising it by 6% instead of 3% provide $140 billion revenue, in which is 25% of defense spending? It can't get any worse. Yeah, well, the point is you raise the money. You raise taxes on those whose tax rates do not have a dramatic effect or significant effect on the economy. It's the bottom line. So that you can, and then, but the thing is, you got to pour it back into the economy. But, you know, at the very least, just let them go up to their tax rate that it was before Bush stepped in to get rid of the surpluses. What are your thoughts on Olbermann's new show closing? End days from the Republican takeover of the House. Where are the jobs, Mr. Bonaire? Well, it's funny because it's just making fun of the Republicans' claims that, you know, the stimulus didn't work at all and at the Republicans, it's funny. Pluger says, more backboarding. Don't be a putz. Glad to have you back, Sammy. I'd love you to help you promote the show pro bono. Google gave the company a 10% raise. Communists! Oh, all right, great. Well, don't be a putz. Will you email me at samcedarshow@gmail.com and put into the subject line, don't be a putz. Philippe's perspective. No, it's not down. I'm still hearing you. Okay, and stimulate the economy by signing more NAFTA, like trade deals, like South Korea presently? I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Talking about the South Korea deal? Majority FM, read Adam Serwer on Bull Simpson's appalling proposal to trim 4 million. Oh, wait, that's from us. I'm reading the wrong thing. I got to get this down. I think, you know, I put the monitor to my right, and but on the system, it thinks it's on the left. Zen Green, website's undergoing some repair. Okay, so we're not having hashtag stuff that much. Can't hear the second guy on Majority FM. That's what's happening on the hashtag, but that's fine. Any more IMs, folks? Go back. You can IM me at Majority FM. We got another couple of minutes here. Huck Finn, good morning. You wouldn't know any good entertainment lawyers. Oh, I read that one already. All right, I think we're there. Any more questions? Doris, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to put out there if anybody knows of any young folks out there who are looking for an internship.
Oh, right. Yes, that's a good point. We should.
And they're in the New York City area.
Yeah. And yes, if there's people you know that are interested in helping us out with the show, please contact us. We need any type of help we can. And
email us at majority.fm at.
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong? Never mind.
At samcedarshow@gmail.com.
And don't be a putz in the subject line, right?
No, that's just for don't be a putz.
Okay.
We will have a listener email address shortly. Dorsey.
Never mind.
There you go. Crystal Count, White House cave on tax cuts broke minutes after you helped growing Greenwald call it the Blue Dogs by the only whistles they'll answer, corporations. Wall Street, the rich, once again, Obama will effectively cement yet another Bush outrage into law. Yep. Warrantless wiretapping to torture the tax cuts isn't a time to call out the Blue Dog in the White House. Michael Mueller nailed the beginning. Wall Street made a late money dump into Obama's campaign when they realized he was going to win. He went from Fang to Toothless, scrapped his greatest asset. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I mean, it's fine to call out the guy in the White House, but I'm not sure what we can do about that. It's becoming increasingly clear that either Obama is incredibly weak, simply his agenda is much, much further to the right than, you know, it appeared, at least on some issues. Now, he's also, you know, the weird thing, though, is, okay, fine, if he's that guy, that's great, but he's also very bad at the politics. He's very bad at the politics, and that's also problematic. Torsey, do you think the GOP will be able to coax Chris Christie into running for president in 2012 so they have a candidate with any chance of beating Obama? No. And I don't think Chris Christie. Hey, I got news for you. Chris Christie isn't popular in New Jersey. Right? He's not.
Yeah, we hate him.
Yeah, but it's not just you, obviously, Evan. You hate him.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not. What's that poll that came out the other day? He's not popular in New Jersey. And, you know, one hopes that his spending ways since from when he was a U.S. attorney have changed. That's, you know, staying at the Ritz as much as he used to. But, no, I don't think Chris Christie, you know, and I'll tell you why Chris Christie will not run in 2012, because he knows he can't win. Not in 2012. He is at least 6 years and a gastric bypass surgery away from running for president. And I'm not joking about either one of those things. Axelrod denies Obama will extend tax cuts. extend tax cuts? Let's see this. Paul Cohn with keeping me updated. What? That didn't work. That was weird. Why won't that go through to that link? Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me check out that link. Pop this baby up here. We'll get this down, folks. This is a soft launch period. Are you kidding? He denies administration regs serve the cost of the board continuation. Okay. But he later, Obama is willing to discuss the best way forward, but he believes the tax cuts should be extended only for the middle class. Well, that's different than what he said to Greg Sargent. So he's even walking it back even further. We believe it's imperative to extend the tax cuts and don't believe we can afford a permanent. See, now, okay. This is a shittily written piece because the author, Katie O'Donnell, says senior White House advisor David Axelrod said this morning that President Obama has not caved to GOP demands on the extension of the Bush tax cuts, despite a report to the contrary. Quote, "We're willing to discuss how we move forward," Axelrod said in an email, National Journal, rebutting the Huffington Post story, "but we believe it's imperative to extend the tax cuts for the middle class and don't believe we can afford a permanent extension of tax cuts for the wealthy." Okay, so look, when you're keeping score at home, you write down Katie O'Donnell's name in the column that says, shill for White House. Now, I don't know why she's a shill. Some people do that for access. I don't know who she is. Maybe she's not even a liberal. Maybe this is the way to provide cover. Maybe she's just like a third wayer. Who knows? I mean, that's shocking. That is really shocking. Because it's so glaringly obvious that he didn't say they have not caved to GOP demands on the extension of the Bush tax cuts. I mean, I guess they haven't caved yet. I mean, on a technical sense, because the deadline hasn't even come up yet. And I guess in a technical sense, they don't live in a cave. But that's not what the quote from Axelrod says. And in fact, the quote doesn't even say, we will not accept a permanent extension of tax cuts for the wealthy. It says, we don't believe we can afford a permanent extension. So never mind, we have we're not going to allow an extension of the tax cuts. Never mind, we're not going to allow a permanent extension. It's we can't afford one, we think. That's not etched in stone. I don't want anybody to think that we're being, uppity. Unbelievable. Don't worry about it, Paul Cohn, 28. You don't have to apologize to me. I mean, that's what she wrote. That's what she wrote. You know how awesome it's going to be, like when these people are like, hey, Skype me, and we can just hit a button and just connect them to the show?
Can't wait.
Well, that will never, it'll never happen. Because nobody would ever allow themselves to do that. Phil, perspective. Christie is less popular in New Jersey right now than Obama is nationally. He's about 45-40 with 10% no opinion. That's right. Thank you. Don't be a pup. Is King Bloomberg popular in NYC? Total myth. I don't think that's the case. Bloomberg's not shockingly popular, but he did just win his third term.
But didn't he isn't the word out that if, you know, people who opposed him actually went out and voted and just didn't, you know, think it was inevitable that it would have been
possibly. But part of that, also, there was also speculation that people had a problem with him extending his term.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he wants to reverse that, correct?
When, right now?
Well, now he, no, I mean, after he's done, he wants he wants it so that there's no there's term limits.
Only
like,
one third
still
term.
Oh, he's learned his lesson. Oh, he's okay. learned. he's learned that there's no one as good as me.
Yeah.
He's going to be in tune with the American people now.
He's getting in sync with the American people. Sam's excuse for his sexual dysfunction, it's a soft launch. hey, don't be a putz. Maybe you should take your own advice. let's see. Bloomy still had to spend $50 million, yes. But, you know, I... oh, wait, there's a discussion forum? Did we start a... did Pluger start a...
I think he did. If you, yeah, in the blog.
A discussion forum? Oh, good. Good. We'll link to it. Moody's article link is posted to the majority.fm discussion forum. I don't know where you can find that, but go to the blog at majority.fm. They'll probably tell you. Sven Gali says... Oh, here we go. Thanks for posting that video. It made my day, talking about the jetpack and Gage. We should just come up with a page. Or you said somebody already has that, right? JPOC Mock? JP Mock?
Yeah, there's a playlist of all of them available on YouTube, but we can even post that playlist probably.
Question, can you take an educated guess at who will be the Republican nominee in 2012? If you can't guess a person, you try and take a guess as to what kinds of positions they'll stake out. Predicting something you use is pretty impossible. I'd like to hear what you think. I don't know who the nominee is going to be. I mean, it could be Plenty. I've talked to somebody who said John Thune could be very dangerous because he doesn't sound like a whack job, but he has cred with the Christian right. I think they're going to be too far to the right to get through a primary. They're going to end up being too far to the right. You know, Mitt Romney's going to run, but he's going to have problem with health care.
Do you think that they would try to purify somebody like Thune, though? He's so close to being exactly what they want. Do you think they would ruin him that way? Like Palin and all the people that could gin up all the...
I think these guys operate with a lot of self-interest, and, you know, particularly more and more... It's about being the true representative of the people because, you know, a lot of these politicians, the interesting thing about the politicians, the Republican politicians now is that they're as much businesses as they are politicians. You know, Christine O'Donnell, she won the day she won that nomination. She won the, I mean, are you kidding? This is not the end of Christine O'Donnell. This is the beginning of Christine O'Donnell.
She was on Leno last night.
Was she?
Yeah.
See, I rest my case. Yeah. And I think if you know me, you know I had no idea who was on Leno.
Well, she was second to David Spade.
Leno could literally, like, take an axe and chop his fingers off on the show, and I would never hear about it because I've been basically, except for you, have been able to completely cut any ability for any information about Jay Leno to reach my ears. I've cut off every form of media that might transmit something about Leno to me. But so, there you go. That's fine because that was actually but I haven't with Christine O'Donnell. That's my point. Is that, you know, she doesn't need to win. This is not, you know, Sarah Palin. Should she quit being governor to become a, you know, to host a Discovery Channel and to get 100,000? She not listen.
It's TLC.
She doesn't care about winning the presidency. She doesn't care about that stuff. That's why she won't. I don't think she'll run because for her it's much more profitable to be a kingmaker. It's much less accountable. You know, I don't think that she would run because I think she gets into the primary and there's a question: do I think I can win? And if she has that question, why would she hurt her brand?
Yeah, well, if she loses,
she loses her primary, she's done.
Yeah,
and so she will not run. But, you know, she has to be careful as to who's, you know, if Thune doesn't need her, then she's got to go with somebody who's going to fight. She's got to demonize Thune. So I think anybody who comes out of a primary is going to be seriously hurt. And frankly, the Democrats, the Republican control of the House, I think really helps Obama. Sadly.
Maybe they'll just run John McCain again.
That's right.
Sure.
One more throwaway. As a Floridian, Rubio, he's a Republican Obama, if you ask me. Rubio won't run in 2012, but 2016, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, the other thing is, do you think that, you know, Democrats or Republicans, do you think they're ever going to nominate another senator again? Like, I have a feeling it's going to be governors because of all the executive experience bullshit that they try to make.
Well, it had always been – it was actually always in the past much harder to do senator. But
that's what I mean. But now after Obama, everybody, you know, I'm sure that everybody's going to use that as the template, to, you know, not to nominate senators.
Well, look, it's a little bit early to be, you know, sort of summing up Obama as some figure who's so toxic after 8 years that the idea that he was a senator is going to be, you know,
it's a favorite talking point on Fox News. Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Well, but that's because you've got to remember who Fox News thinks they're going to support. There are no senators that they want to support. Maybe Thune.
If Rubio decided to, you know.
If he decided to run?
If he decided to lose his mind and go for it in 2012, you know, God.
Oh, no, he's not going to run.
I'm just saying.
Not. He's just not. No, that would be insane. There's no reason for him to do that. Because it's a far more valid criticism that, hey, we don't know who you are. You've only been in the Senate for 2 years. Look what happened with Obama.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Even if he was a governor. Let's see. Cat photo. Isn't Christine O'Donnell sitting real pretty right now? She has millions in cash to live on. Does she have millions? Whatever. Of course she is. She's going to, you know, start her hoodie, you know. Oh, not the discussion forum, just the show page. Apologies. Okay. Yeah, Christine O'Donnell's doing better than she was 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Yep.
She'll have a book deal.
Wasn't McCain just Bob Dole 2, Electric Boogaloo? No, actually, McCain, far less substantial than Bob Dole. I'm not kidding. Bob Dole, you know, was a guy who was respected by his peers. McCain was never respected by his peers. When he was a congressman, he was apparently a laughingstock. A laughingstock. It's just he positioned himself in later years in such a way that, you know, he became more relevant to the sort of media class.
Did you see the thing about how Bush was talking to British diplomats? Said he wouldn't vote for McCain during the election?
Oh, really?
Said he has to go out and support him, but he's not going to vote for him.
Wow. When George Bush calls you a lightweight. He's just a silver spoon. You know, I never feel like he's not a self-made man. You know, I don't want to besmirchify anyone's rectitude, but...
Has the Franken decade been eclipsed already by O'Donnell?
Sad. No, I think Franken's decade is actually going to be... it's actually going to start in 2020. I think he's going to be a very important senator. If he gets past this next re-election, I think he's going to be a very important senator. Axelrod denies... Oops, sorry, apologizing for the bad link. Oh, no, at all. Were we Chicagoans effed? Oh, greetings. Speaking of mayors, Rahm, Chicago, thoughts? Good luck. I don't know. I mean, mayor's a different job than, you know, mayor's a lot less ideological in some respects.
Yeah.
But because you can't, you know, you can't escape the realities of the city in the same way. It's just everything is far too accountable. You can be, you know, corporate loving and whatnot, but that stuff catches up with you because people are not, you know, the accountability is just so direct. All right, folks, it is now time for me to say goodbye. Let's see, Okajik, the permanent is keyword, right? Shinks, Mark Green story, what? Was I supposed to tell the Mark Green story today?
You kind of teased.
Did I say I would tell it today?
No, you said you'd tell it.
Oh, that's definitely a casual Friday day.
Or a medium launch. Save that for the medium launch.
We mean after the post-hard launch?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's a soft launch story.
I don't know if I want the broadest of audiences to know. What we need to do is get Chris Rose. We need to get Chris or Lauren in here.
I think Rosen's out of town. He's living in St. Louis or something.
Yeah, but doesn't he go back and forth?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean,
he goes back and forth.
Oh, okay. We could always Skype him. I'm sure he could do that. That'd be fun.
Actually, that would be great. We should do that because he's also, he's a movie television critic, and going into the weekend, maybe it would be good to. You know what I think we should do? Because, and I'm biased here, but who cares about reviewing movies that are coming out this weekend? Everybody does that. For me, I never see a movie in a theater anymore. It's either what's on Netflix or what's on demand, because my life sucks. Now, that's a little bit of an overstatement, but...
Yeah, maybe he could just do, what's just been released to instant viewing on Netflix.
I'm not kidding.
That'd be big.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. I hooked up my Wii. I had a problem with my Wii, and because I had put it on the shelf, and I was going to just throw it away or have it recycled. And when Netflix came out with that, I don't even, I don't hear the whirring or anything like that. I don't hear that anymore. What, you're quitting?
Just the camera.
All
right.
That's it.
Dorsey got really pissed about that Netflix comment. He just threw his headphones off and just walked away. All right. I will see you tomorrow, folks. Podcast will be up very shortly. And thanks for joining us. Bye.
The Majority Report.